Hello, welcome back to Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going?
Not too bad. Yeah, not too bad. We got a ton of snow up here in the Northeast. It was funny, we were out skiing, my wife and I, over the weekend, and the mountains, or at least Sugarloaf where I was at, got like 6 inches, which is still great. It was overnight. For the most part, it was when it snowed on Saturday. And then Sunday, it was minus 27 with a wind chill, and most of the lifts were on wind hold. So we were able to get some decent skiing in before that. But on Sunday, we were like, we're not going to do it. And then came home to nice 18 inches of snow in the driveway. But at least it looks like winter, so can't complain too much. But how about you? How are things going?
Yeah, similarly, we got 25 inches here on Saturday during the day, and it was just insane. Like, still is insane. Like, it's all over the place. It just is really disruptive. Yeah. Like, even like letting the dog out is like really challenging. Like, the doors were frozen shut. So yeah, it's getting better, but it was a trip, man. I mean, like, our house is really old. The fireplace has not been cleaned in like 15 years. And so we were pretty worried, like, if we lose power.
Oh yeah.
And it's 10 degrees outside, like, we're up a creek. So we did not, fortunately, and are having the fireplace checked out next week, just in case that happens again. So yeah, survived our first blizzard. It was wild, though. It was really crazy to be through, but on the other side of it now.
Nice. How are things in the world of Castos?
Good, man. I think the two kind of updates I have. One, I'm experimenting. I'll proclaim it here to give myself some accountability. I'm experimenting with posting on LinkedIn daily this month. So a lot of like founder stuff, you know, and, you know, fundraising and bookkeeping and, you know, cash runway and all that kind of stuff, a little bit about sales. So that's cool. It's not really super hard. I'm just like writing a little kind of mini post every morning that will go out the next day using Buffer, considering like tweet storming them the next day, maybe. And just kind of like an experiment to see how like me being more vocal and like present helps anything with the business. It like has nothing to do with my personal brand, I guess. That's what this show is all about. But yeah, just trying to be a little more vocal as like a kind of thought leader, I guess.
And I could see that, I think, in the area that you're in, where for the private podcasting side, a lot of it is you're creating the demand, you're educating people on this is even a thing that people can do. And that's where thought leadership and just building more of an audience, more of a following there, I feel like that can make a big difference. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So trying to just box it in like 20 minutes in the morning, just sit down, write something. Doesn't have to be great. You know, want it to be great, but I'm not going to like send it to an editor or anything like that. So just a really big tweet, essentially. So that's cool. And then the other update I have is we closed last month up about 20% revenue, which is a lot for us. You know, we're 5 years old. So like big jumps like that are really big for us. So it's really cool. Really cool to see the sales guys, especially, really kicking in some big deals. And it's just cool to see. They've been on board for about 5 months. And so like to get like time to impact, I guess, like relatively short like that is really cool to see. So patting myself on the back that like they're up to speed as well and quickly as they are.
Been yeah, that's cool. Gotta be cool to see things coming together, because you're gonna feel it like, all right, we're on the right track. But when actually you see it on the bottom line, that's when I think it's gotta be rewarding.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. How about you?
It's been a busy couple of weeks. Honestly, I was feeling pretty burnt out last week and didn't get as much done as I would like, but just needed to recharge a bit. And yeah, I've come in with a better attitude this week, and a lot of progress has been made on just getting things in order. And I've made the decision that I think open loops for me just weigh me down mentally. And it's the longer that they stay open, the more it annoys me, the more it's in the back of my head. And then every time I look at my to-do list, I'm just like, oh, I don't want to do that. And a lot of it too is these things they'll be big projects that I'll spend a ton of time on up front. And one example is getting a bunch of updates made to the WordPress site. Some were bugs, some was new functionality. There was a bunch of different things in there. Those updates were made September, still on staging, because it took longer than expected to get it done. Football was starting up, so I had to just shift my focus elsewhere. Then by the time I get back to it, I'm like, okay, I need to merge this to production, but I don't quite remember. Is it going to break things? Like, what do I have to fix? So like, I'm like, all right, I'll look into this like another time when I'm less busy. More time goes by, I come back to it. Don't even really remember some of the motivations for these changes. And like, as time goes on, I have less and less clarity over what needs to be done, which makes it harder and harder to go back and actually do it. And there's a few things like that. And I've just made a decision, okay, figure out our top priorities, keep moving forward on those. But I'm working closely with Jordan, who does all of our content, to just help me close some of these loops. Because even if it's not the highest value thing, I just can't have it on my plate anymore. And for some of them, we're probably just going to say like, all right, scrap all of it, whatever. For others, we'll get it across the finish line. And then I feel like we'll be at a much cleaner, starting from a much cleaner slate. So I've been reorganizing Notion, trying to get clearer on that process, separating out the backlog from what we're actually working on and making some good progress there and feeling like I'm making better progress on delegating. And yeah, all in all, I feel like there's still a good amount to do. And like, I'm trying not to get stressed about the things I'm deliberately not doing while we get caught up. But I do feel like this is going to be, we'll be in a pretty good spot soon.
You mentioned like about recharging, like feeling a little burnt out and recharging stuff. Like, what does that look like for you to like acknowledge that and then like take kind of like steps to recharge your batteries?
It's definitely something I've been feeling for a while. I don't think I necessarily had a super clear realization like, okay, like I need a break. It was almost just coincidental that, yeah, we had like a, not a long trip, it was 2 nights, 3 days up in the mountains, which I just always like getting out there, even though I'm a mediocre skier. And so it wasn't as though I realized I'm feeling burnt out, let me do something to disconnect for a little bit. It was more, they just happened to line up. And so just kind of took advantage of that. We have a lot of friends that go up there, so we were able to meet up with them, and it was just a good way to disconnect.
I think that's important because like it doesn't have to be this like dramatic like breaking point realization. We're like, I'm fucking, you know, burnt out. I can't take this anymore, and like just burn your computer and stuff. Like, I think these little like mini course corrections are for me like the most healthy way. Like,
yeah,
boiling.
Yeah, I think if I wouldn't have had that trip, honestly, like I was getting close to that burn it all down spot. So I think I would have had to plan something. But yeah, fortunately that I had that. And it's, for me, it can be tough too, where a lot of times there'll be like trips that come up and travel is nice to get away and this and that. But if you feel like you're already like really behind on things, then you go on this trip and then you're trying to get caught up and it just keeps piling on. Like, oh, I got to go. There's a family on this day. And like, that's when like the life stuff can just get stressful. And I was definitely had been feeling that. And so have been making better progress to get caught up. And that's what, again, why I just feel like getting to that spot where I don't feel behind is going to be really important. And I'm already getting closer to that because then I can just enjoy that time away a lot more rather than just dreading coming back and be like, yep, I there's so much shit I need to do.
On the, like, I'll say productivity, lowercase p, productivity side of things, do you like subscribe to like the getting things done way of tackling that, or are you less structured?
I've read the book a lot, like a few times. I do feel very strongly that you have to log things somewhere and can't just carry around a mental to-do list. I can't, at least, because I'm going to forget things. So on a practical matter, that's why like I feel pretty strongly about that across the board, is that if you don't write it down somewhere, it's going to get lost. But for me personally, it's just having a bunch of those things just floating around in my head adds to the stress. So I do make sure to keep track of things. So for the company, it's all in Notion. Personally, it's all in Trello. When things get crazy, I just won't look at the Trello.
Right.
And I'll just focus on the company stuff. But yeah, it's not like a true getting things done, but I do want to move towards more of a deliberate process personally and professionally. And I think the biggest thing I've realized is that's important. Not trying to generalize again, so at least for me, this is how it is, but it's just limiting work in progress. It's been an issue with delegating where sometimes I'm not, one, I don't have the clarity to see exactly what is on someone's plate. So I'll give them things when they have other things going on, and then none of it really gets done. Or I'll just keep piling things on without giving clear instructions of the order of operations. So they try to do, again, all of it, and not much gets done. So the big thing there is just getting clearer with the people that on the team that I am delegating more to of, here are your day-to-day responsibilities that trump everything. Like, these things have to get done. Everyone has a couple hours. For most people on a team, it's going to be in the morning. That's where these ad hoc things can come up and get them done. Don't go on to the next one until you finish one. And for me personally, I'm doing a similar thing where it's like, I'd come to that realization a bit ago for the business, but didn't at all think about it in like the personal life, where I'm pretty ADD. And so when I hit some friction point with something, I'll just jump to the next thing. And then there'll be six doors in the house without doorknobs. And there's like five light switches hanging off the walls and like all this stuff. It's like, oh, like, I don't really want to do this right now for whatever reason. I'm going to go do something else. And then I'm going to do something else. And then I have just like all these projects in mid motion, which just stresses me out and doesn't get good results. So long story short, for me, it's getting things written down, but trying very hard to fight my natural urges and to actually like limit the work in progress as much as possible. What's your approach there?
So I've been really bad about this in the past, and I'm still really bad. Getting things done was suggested by several of the Tiny Seed mentors. And so read the book, all this kind of stuff. I do use a to-do app. It's called Things, and I like it because it syncs between my desktop or, my laptop and my phone, just like a Trello board, but everything is there, personal and business stuff. I don't like having business stuff only in Notion, even as like a private board or whatever, just because like I find it really hard to use on the phone, and I kind of like having everything in one place. So like when I have a point during the day where like I finish the thing up and I have 20 minutes until like a next call or something like that, I can just open up the to-do list and see like, ooh, I could call the bank right now and get this thing done, And so like that has been helpful. Where I am terrible though is like my inbox is my to-do list too. Like I'm just like, I've had a VA. Well, listeners know that like I had a VA at one point. They tried to organize my email and it just didn't work. So like what I do there is I just leave emails that I need to attend to as unread and just sort Gmail that way. And like, it's not terrible because like what I do is like, I look at the oldest thing and see like, oh, can I get that one off there? Or can I delegate that or something like that? And if I get to an email that's more than a week old, like there's a problem, but it happens. And sometimes I just mark it as read and know that like, if it's really important, it'll come back. Unless it's like super, super important, I won't do that, but that, I probably won't leave those. But tends to be the really complicated things I don't know what to do with get just left there. And it's kind of like, when you get the bill from like the doctor's office or the hospital after the first time, like you've been there and it's like $5,000 or whatever, like literally I just throw them in the trash because I know the next one that comes 2 weeks later is going to be like $125. And like, I throw most of those in the trash too. And it's like $37 the next week when they come. I don't know if it's so important. I think people will just ping you again. I don't want to be like irresponsible, but like I heard someone say like good founders are bad at email. And like, I think that's a little too far, but like, I think guarding our own time to be productive with the things we decide are important is important, and not being only reactive to things that land in your inbox. And so I try to guard my mental space that way. Yeah. So I don't know.
No, I think that makes sense. And it's one of the big ideas in getting things done that I agree with is getting clear on the next steps, because that's what usually makes it hardest for me to get back to a task is I don't know what to do. And so I spend so much time just trying to figure out where to even begin that I'm just not going to do it. And it just is like a vicious cycle. And the other part for me is that when I do get overwhelmed, I'll just let the inbox pile up. I'll just let the to-dos pile up and it just compounds and gets worse until I sort of just have to just plow through it. And I'm in that plow through it phase, hoping that we're making some better process adjustments, just like avoid it getting there. Again, one of the big things that I'm working on is having Jordan really own partner communications. So we've got our full support team in the communities for our partners. And so that's been good. Before, basically, I would just always get tagged when there was a question. And honestly, at this point, like, the support team is going to give a better answer than I would. But also, it's just like there's a lot of feedback and there's different discussions and things like that. And I think Jordan really can own that. And getting it off my plate isn't the right word, because it's not as though it's a ton of work, but it's just one extra thing that just kind of can pop up out of the blue, take a bunch of my time. And I think with Jordan, he can actually own it and then figure out a better schedule of like, let's check in with every partner once a month, do that. And then he can collect things and he can just be more regimented about it than I would. So I think it'll get them better results and just remove more ad hoc stuff from my plate. But yeah, I do think it's coming together. It's just my big concern is just having the discipline to actually follow through with it all.
Right, right. So you and I were talking before about a shiny object that I have in my business world. And I don't want to talk about it. I can't talk about it on the podcast, but I think we can kind of abstract away the idea of this when it comes to like product strategy decisions that we make. And like I emailed you and I said, hey, let's talk about like base hits versus grand slams and like how we both think about, and especially like you with your gambling background and like probabilistic and math stuff that I don't understand, like how you think about like big bets having like outsized potential versus like a bunch of little bets and things like that when it comes to product. And really, like, I think the question for me is like, how should I think about, or how should we all think about like a series of kind of like incremental, but like definite improvements to the product and like where we are in the market versus like, what if we don't release anything for 6 months and build this like mega feature? So yeah, I think that'll be that, like, that's the discussion.
Yeah. I this is something that I do feel like, yeah, I intuitively have a decent grasp on. It's just, yeah, from my background is just analyzing bets, but that we've done better about approaching this recently at SaberSim, because what I think it ultimately comes down to is, yeah, is what's called like an expected value calculation, which is where you're figuring out, all right, what is the probability of a specific outcome? What it is, in the most simple way, if this is a win, what does that look like? How frequently does it happen? If it is a loss, what does that look like? How frequently does it happen? And there's going to be degrees of it, so you're not trying to get it precise. And I think what the simplest way of figuring it out is just there's two dozen different like prioritization frameworks where it's, I think there's like PIE, there's ICE, there's all these different ones where it's ultimately comes down to how long is this going to take to do? How big of an impact will it have? And what is your confidence in that? And there's different ways of doing it, but that's really what they're doing. And it's just shorthand for an expected value calculation. What we have done is just basically go through that process as we prioritize things out of the backlog and get them onto the roadmap.
Sorry, is that like a formal thing? Like you have a score for them in GitHub or something like that? Or it's in a spreadsheet and nothing gets in? Okay.
We just call it like a ranking, and we modified one of the frameworks where it's, I think it was ICE, where it's at impact, confidence, and ease. We do ease is like, how long is this? How hard is this going to be to do? We call that time and do it first, because what I found is that a lot of things can be time boxed, and you can say, okay, if we build this perfect solution, how long would that take? What would be the impact of that? What if we say we can only spend 3 weeks on this? What could we get done then? Is that going to get us most of the impact, whatever? And it's helped us limit the scope of things while still like just finding the 80-20s there. And that's been one of the biggest improvements to our own process, is not thinking about it as all or nothing. And Matt and I we both kind of default to saying, all right, we want to completely redo how this part of the app works. Here's all the cool things we can do. Here's like this. And then we'll have this like mass thing. It's like, we probably couldn't finish this in a quarter. But it's like, all right, what if, and so usually what happened then is like, all right, we'll put that on the backlog. And we never would really break it down. And this has forced us, or has helped us just get clear on like, if something's super long in duration, is there a way we can just like find something smaller there? And then, yeah, it all just comes down to, again, like, what is not just the impact, but the confidence in that. And I think that's the part, that's really the probabilistic thinking part that I think most don't naturally have. Because, I mean, in sports, people always think in binary outcomes. They're like, okay, like, this game is going to, this team's a little tired, they're going to get run over, whatever. Like, this is going to be the outcome. And it's like, sure, sometimes, but like, it's not a sure thing. There is a distribution of possible outcomes. There's luck. There's all these other variables too. And so I think that's the most important one. And what I'm getting at is that in general, the lower your confidence in the impact and the longer it takes for something to do, the less likely it is, in my opinion, that you should do it. Unless it's something where you're not super confident in it, but if you're right, it would have a step change in the growth of the business or whatever it may be. Then it can be worth like experimenting with. But I just feel like a lot of the ideas that feature requests and different things just in a vacuum don't add up to a lot. And so when you had mentioned the base hit versus grand slam analogy, and I think people take for granted that the default stuff actually is a base hit. I think a lot of the work that everyone does doesn't make that much of an impact. And I also think people on the other side of it assume big ideas necessarily have big outcomes. And that's not always true. So it's just, I think the biggest thing you can do is just get clearer on, not even clearer, more realistic on what is the potential impact here? How confident are we in that? And is there a way to test the waters without making as big of a bet? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is very similar to what we're starting to put in place from a product perspective. And it's just been like, I asked if like you're actually doing this somewhere, and that's cool. You all do it in Notion. We're using a really similar framework, but they're adding R for reach. So like, how many customers would this impact? Like new customers, just WordPress users, you know, new and existing customers, private podcasting, or, you know, whatever, to kind of add a fourth metric to this. So reach, impact, confidence, and effort. And we're going to start scoring like all big features that we're going to start working on. I think the question for me is like, am I going to make all those decisions? That seems like a lot of pressure, but I think I'm probably still the best one to make that. And maybe we'll have some people like on the team check me on those. Like I'll give my vote. And then, you know, if anyone objects, maybe then we can like reconsider it or take another look. I think part of it is like all this stuff can get really bureaucratic really quickly. Like if you start, you know, having too much process around this stuff. And I think that like that's like the death of a lot of product teams is like getting too much process around this stuff.
Yeah, because what we did was, this was the first quarter we did it. The first thing we did was set our quarterly goals and then said, okay, so we had those had their own discussion around it. And then with those in mind, went into the backlog and said, all right, let's score these things, figure out what is realistic to try to do this quarter and then go through that. And then having it was hours for sure with Matt, Ben, and I doing this. It's like the leadership team. And what we realized is that it's definitely arbitrary and you just try to be directionally correct without getting super deep and like, well, is this 8 or is this a 6? Like, I don't know. And so it's like we changed how we viewed things and just tried to like get more in sync as we went with it. And even then, it's not as though we exclusively follow that when prioritizing. It's like that would be the default, but we'll move things around. It's like, oh, if we're working on this, it's going to go really well with that.
Right.
And so we'll shift this up. And so for us, it's more just guiding it. And it did change how we were going to tackle things pretty significantly. And a lot of that came down to the idea of just breaking things down into smaller pieces. But again, yeah, I just think, I don't know, the idea of the grand slams, it's like, I don't know if this, so one is like a really hard analogy for me to work with because baseball, the home run hitters are, it's like objectively pretty much like a correct strategy. It's like, you like, that's going to help you win games. It's going to be higher variance, but like, you want to have home run hitters. Just like, you want guys that are going to shoot a lot of threes in the NBA. But in general, it's just, I think in our business, I don't know if we like have to be swinging for the fences to get significant results. Like, I'm just saying, I feel like when we talk about like swinging for the fences, we talk about grand slams, home runs, whatever, we imply that there's a lot of risk there. And I think for true moonshots, that is the case. But I feel like there are ways to just have wins stack up that aren't super high variance, that aren't that risky, where if they don't work out, it's not a binary thing where either this transforms the business or we wasted 6 months and get no results, or we run out of money or whatever else. I think that's the where, to me, the analogy breaks down is that it's not a binary thing. And I just feel like most businesses have a lot of low-hanging fruit, that the impact can still be real, but the confidence is just so high that it's like, yeah, just execute on these things and you will grow, or you will ship a better product and then you can market and grow whatever. But yeah.
Yeah. And I think the other part of that is like the grand slam, as we're talking about it, like that feature, even a big feature, is rarely the thing that makes a company. It's operations and sales and marketing and just overall customer experience. So yeah, I mean, I think part of it is it's alluring for product people to say like, if we build this thing, like if we build it, they will come. And it's just like balancing the fact that like these days, especially, you have to have a great product and you have to be like the market leader in a lot of ways, with kind of acknowledging the fact that like the product isn't the only thing, I'll say, you know, it maybe is the most important, but it's not the only thing. So that's where I have a hard time deciding how much of my kind of time and company resources and developers and product folks to devote to some of these new big things is like, you know, this could be the one thing that like, if we don't do it, then we're in trouble, you know? And I think that's what we worry about sometimes, not as much proactively, but like from a fear perspective, like what if, you know, you're MailChimp and you don't have like marketing automation for 3 years, you know, like the competition's going to eat your lunch. And like, sure, they still did great and sold into it for $8 billion or whatever. But like, I don't know. I mean, I view product direction from both perspectives, like playing offense and going out and like setting the market. And then from a, holy crap, what if like the other guys do it and we're caught behind the eight ball and it puts us in a bad spot and then we're 6 months behind. So.
Yeah, I don't know. So I guess in my perspective, yeah, you've got the idea of moats, but I think it's really hard to have a product truly be a moat unless it's something that takes years and years to build and a very specialized type of team to build it, where I guess I just can't picture some change in the market for podcasting that would completely blindside you and cause the business to shrink massively. And I just feel like if there's a big change and you weren't the first one on it, you could still release it and get caught up pretty quickly. Like that's where product as a moat is tough, because most people can just build it too. I think for SaberSim, our moat is that the market's not massive. So it's like, could other people build this? Yeah, but we've been playing in some ways catch up to the market leader. And I think at this point we're on a level playing field and starting to get ahead. But I feel like you'd have to be pretty fucking crazy to spend a few million dollars to try to like catch us at this point. And so that's kind of the thing where it's not like a great moat to have, but I'm not incredibly concerned about a newcomer just knocking us off, knowing how much time and how many resources went into building this. And I feel like in your space, I just don't know what that could be, especially when churn is low. It's a sticky product. Like, I just don't think the downside risk of inaction is high at all. And the risk of placing these big bets that take a ton of time and they're relatively binary in outcome, where you spend a bunch of time on a new feature. It's almost never going to hurt you, but you could just release to crickets and get minimal usage and not really see any change in adoption or churn or whatever else. And the idea that it gives you like a first mover advantage on a trend that's coming up, I don't know. Like, it, that just seems kind of a stretch.
Wishful thinking a little bit.
Yeah. And yeah. I think you're already positioning the company in a great way at the start of the private podcasting movement. And it's something where right now, is it massive market? No, but it's growing and it's like the wave is forming and you can see that. And I just think that you don't need to place a bet where you're not even seeing the first ripples. That's kind of the big thing. It's like you're the confidence of even knowing what the potential impact could be. You have no idea about that. And then just what if nothing even comes from it? You've spent all the time. And I just feel like there's going to be ways in most of those cases at our scale. I think there's going to be ways to place smaller bets earlier or just simply wait a little longer and see if something materializes.
That's that's like one of the hardest parts. And this is almost like going back to our to-do lists and productivity is like, inactivity is one of the most stressful things for me. Like inactivity within the company, it is like, it makes me really worried. And I know that's not right, but like my best days are when there's just a ton of stuff going on and it takes a lot of discipline. And like, I'm really proud of myself when I do say, I'm just going to sit here and do nothing, you know, and that, because that's the right thing. And a lot of times it is like, no, we're not going to make that hire right now because like we haven't proven this thing. I think it's a mature stance, you know, that like takes a lot of time to see that pattern over and over again. Yeah. But I think doing nothing is, and being deliberate, I guess, is like the sign of a mature, more mature company and kind of leader, I guess.
And it's not even doing nothing. I mean, in some cases.
Well, just waiting, right?
It can be, right. But again, it's not. As though it's waiting and twiddling your thumbs. Like there are likely a lot of base hits in the backlog for you. Working through integrations, working through those things where it's, you know, this will have an impact. You know, it's easy to scope. Keep churning through those. Maybe there are smaller bets you can place to test the waters with things. I don't know. I just think for us, the big thing was even now, we're starting to experiment more on the sports betting side of things. It's like, that's always been the obvious wave. Like it's a big wave right now. We see it, but that we didn't have that wasn't really our audience. There's overlap with it, but it's a little bit different. We're getting traction right now, significantly on the DFS side of things. There's a lot more we know we should do that will get results on the DFS side of things. So, I mean, for a couple of years, we literally didn't touch the sports betting side of things. We had a plan up for it. Some people would sign up for it, but we didn't promote it. We did nothing with it. And that was super hard, but it was just like, I don't even know where to begin with this. I have ideas for what we could do there, but how are we going to market it? How are we going to get this seen? How are we going to get in front of this audience? It was just, there was so much uncertainty and it was just such a big thing that it just wasn't, it never made the cut until more recently. And I just think that's the big thing is you don't want to assume activity yields results. So sometimes it just yields activity in business and you're really just treading water. But yeah, it's always a challenge. And I think it's something that everyone listening to is navigating as well.
Thanks for the therapy session. I appreciate it. Talk to me off the ledge. No, I mean, I think it's probably something that to a degree, and it sounds like you with the sports betting stuff, like everybody grapples with like how and when to make these moves. So yeah, hopefully it's helpful for us to kind of chat through this in a bit of an abstract way, but I think the lessons are good.
Awesome. Well, yeah. And if any listeners have any things that they're trying to figure out, prioritize, have any feedback on the way we are looking at it, I'd love to hear from you. And you can reach out at podcast@seekingscale.com. But thanks everyone for listening.